This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Have Another podcast with Lindsay Hine. Today we have Coach Kelsey Quinn on the podcast. She is the assistant coach for the On Athletics Club. She joined the team this past summer of 2023. The On Athletics Club is led by head coach and three-time Olympian Dathan Ritzenhine. Based out of Boulder, they have made quite the splash in the running scene since their club was founded a few years back. They are heading into their fifth season, and one of their greatest achievements this past year was Helen O'Beery running the Boston Marathon and the New York City Marathon and winning both of those races. They have multiple Olympians on the team, and this is Kelsey's first pro coaching job where she's coaching pro athletes. She originally was a runner herself. She was a 400 meter hurdler. She ran for the University of Iowa, and she has coached at the University of Washington, the University of Portland, the University of Utah, Warner Pacific, Grandview University, and Iowa State. She has been all over the scene in the college scene and applied for this job with On, and she's going to tell you all about it in the episode. She's a mother of two, and so we talk about, of course, being a mom and a female coach in the industry, what that looks like. She's got a great message to other women who are wanting to take that path as well. Big, exciting year ahead with the Olympics coming up. So it's going to be really fun to see what the On Athletics Club does and all their teammates do in this next year coming up. I would say go ahead and give Kelsey a follow on Instagram and show her support, show their team support. She is Coach K Quinn on Instagram. All right, friends, if you are enjoying this podcast, please leave us a quick rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's a huge help in new listeners finding us. Right now, it looks like we have around 2,000 ratings and reviews on iTunes. I'd love to get that number up to 3,000. And, you know, it's like, I don't even know how people find podcasts these days, the searchability. But I do know one thing. When a podcast has lots of ratings and reviews and positive ones at that, you're more likely to find new listeners for the show. So if you're looking for a free, simple way to support this podcast that you may be enjoying week after week, that would really mean the world to me. And it really takes about, 28 seconds. That's not too bad, right? You're going to listen to this for an hour. 28 seconds, not bad. You can just do that at Apple iTunes or Spotify, and I'd appreciate it. All right, friends. Well, enjoy my conversation with Kelsey Quinn. All right, friends. Today on the podcast, we have Kelsey Quinn on the show. Welcome to the show, Kelsey.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I was just telling Kelsey, we have a rain early dismissal here in North Carolina, and I'm like, what is going on? I didn't know that was a thing coming from Indiana. We had lots of snow days there and things like this, but I swear school gets canceled for anything here.
I can't imagine like being in fifth grade and it's raining outside and your teacher is like, we're going home early. You're like, best day of my life. Like, let's go. This is awesome.
You know, it's so funny because so we knew yesterday that there was going to be an early dismissal because they were like the forecast. But this morning, my oldest son he had the news on and he was like looking at the screen. And I'm like, y'all don't even have to do that. Like, that is what we did, you know? Like, you remember sitting in front of the big TV, like, totally. Waiting for your school to pop up?
And you're like, please, 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 please.
And he's like, see, there we are. And I'm like, you already knew that because I get text messages. And I'm like, were you hoping it would change and it would tell us that we weren't going at all? But
that's so funny.
Had me reminiscing, like, getting up early, watching that TV scroll.
And be such a letdown if it was like if your school wasn't on it. It's like, oh, those other schools got a delay. It's
those schools out in the country because the buses can't get out there. Right. Oh man. Okay, so how are you? How's life going over in Colorado?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been good. It's a little bit of a breather over Christmas holidays. We had a couple people around for practice, but otherwise. It was like we got some time with our families, which was really great. And we stayed here, my husband and I and our kids. So we didn't go anywhere, which was like so low key. It was nice. And then everybody came back right before New Year's. So we've been back together now about 10 days. And that feels really good to have the whole team back and fired up. Races are coming up. It's like suddenly things are getting rolling. So yeah, things are good.
Oh, that's so awesome. And you all heard it in the intro, but Kelsey's the assistant coach at the On Athletics Club. So when she's talking about the team, that's who she's talking about. Wait, how long have you been in the Boulder area? Did you move there just for the team?
I did, yeah. Okay. Yep. I accepted the job and then we moved like mid-June and I started like a week later.
Okay.
So it's been a little over 6 months here now. Yeah, which it kind of, in a way, it feels like we've been here longer in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but just today on our run with the team, it was really beautiful out, and I was like thinking about how grateful I am that I live here. So you know, I guess I still have those moments.
Okay, and what does your husband do? What's his name? What does he do?
His name is Riley, and he is a civil engineer.
Okay,
So he has worked remotely for maybe 6 or 7 years now.
Okay.
So kind of like before everybody else like started doing that. Yeah. And so he did that to allow us some flexibility for my career path. And so that's been really awesome. His has been super consistent as coaching, you know, just like has less of that consistency with where you're at and where you're living. So that's been really, really awesome for our family as we've adjusted. And then he actually took parental leave when we moved to help with the transition. We were just only looking for part-time childcare. That has been crazy. So, yeah, he's an incredible person and has really made it so that this could work for all of us. It's sort of a team effort.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah. You mentioned parental leave. 2 kids, 15 months, yeah. 3 years old.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, I find it fascinating talking to women coaches and especially the phase of life I am. I also love talking to mothers as well. And we see that it can be challenging to like take on a coaching position that's not like such a like a I work these hours every day and it's not, you know, always yeah. fluid and the same. And it's a little bit different coaching at a professional team than a college team. So you've had right. experience doing both. And I'm curious yeah. what you're seeing, like is easier to manage schedule wise doing the pro thing versus coaching in college?
Yeah, I do. I think in the college side of things, there's just so many different facets going on, like even from the academic side and like kind of the athletic department. And so you are juggling a lot of things at the same time with a program like that, plus the recruiting, right? And so sort of you're in season September through June, then you recruit in the summer continually. And so it's all the time. And here it's definitely more focused what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the group itself is a little smaller than a college team. And frankly, Dathan has made a huge difference. As a head coach and like, you know, the person I work for, he is really understanding mm-hmm. of having little kids because he also had his kids that were young at some point. And so, for example, on Sundays, we are now at the indoor track and we get it in the afternoon, evening, like 4 to 7. So at the end of practice the other day, he was like, hey, like you can go ahead and get out of here so you make a home for bedtime. Mm-hmm. So he's like really aware. And I hadn't said anything, but he's very aware. Yeah. And that has made such a difference for me. So he really allows me to adjust things sometimes so that I can be around when I'm around. And that has made such a difference for me as a mother. And I think he knows just like how much I value that and what a difference it makes for my experience too. So that's been really, really awesome.
How old are Dathan's kids now?
They're 13 and 16. So now he's like,
oh gosh, teenagers. Wow.
Like, yeah. Like bought a car, you know, for his daughter. Like, so we're like vastly different stages of parenting, but you know, like you were talking about, like you can remember,
oh,
right?
He
like
remembers. How it is. Yeah. He remembers like it was yesterday for sure.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I can't believe your daughter drives. It's like hard to imagine my kids driving. That's terrifying.
I know. You know, my oldest is 11 and our neighbors up the street that we're close with, their oldest is 15. And when I talk to him, it's so different than when someone talks to my 11-year-old and I'm like, wow, that's only 4 years away. Like, just the changes that happen in those 4 years, especially when we're talking like preteen, teen years, like, it's just wild. It's such a short period of time, too.
It is. Yeah. Human development is like this insane thing. It's like, how does that happen from zero to 18?
Yeah. So, okay. Tell us a little, like, I have the list of colleges that you coached at is pretty long. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 schools before you came here to On?
Yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's start with deciding you wanted to coach, because you ran in college in the Big Ten. You ran hurdles, sprints. Mm-hmm. Did you know in college that you wanted to be a coach?
No. I had, at my last semester of undergrad, I had a one-on-one meeting with my coach. We had them pretty frequently. But he was like kind of like off topic for the day and asked me what I was going to do. And he was like, what are you going to do when you graduate in a couple months? Like, are you going to coach? And I laughed because I was like, hadn't even considered it. And then as soon as he said it, I was like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, oh, well, why not? I think that's something you should consider. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess, honestly, it just hasn't crossed my mind. You know, like, this is just catching me off guard. And so he was like, well, I think you should think about it. And sometime I started personal training right after college. And immediately I was like, oh, man, I miss the athletic population, you know, of like, just the mindset of athletes versus like somebody that's just exercising, you know, for fitness or to lose weight or something. Right. And so I looked into going back to grad school, but I had been a intern in the weight room in undergrad and I loved it. So I thought I was going to go back to grad school, get a really good master's that would like set me apart and help me get a coaching position at a weight room, because those are pretty hard to come by as well. So then a year in, I got this opportunity sort of presented itself, like that I could coach at this local NAI school while I was in grad school and for track. And I was like, like dragging my feet, like kind of same as I was when I was talking to my college coach. And I spoke to my dad about it. And my parents were always pretty hands-off about what I was going to do, but my dad was, like, pretty opinionated for once. Like, I really think you should give it a try, you know? So I went and interviewed and, was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to – I guess, like, you know me really well, and I feel unsure about what I'm going to do next year after grad school, so, like, I'm going to try. And I loved it, you know, from, like, day one. I was like – it was, like, the best part of my day was going to practice. And so – immediately, I was like, okay, I don't know what I was thinking that I didn't want to do this, but I definitely do. And that at that school, I coached sort of like a lot of like what I raced. So like 400, 800, 400 hurdles, like long sprints, very short, mid-D kind of group. So I was like, okay, like that's kind of what I'm looking for. Finish grad school, apply to a lot of jobs like everybody does. And then interviewed and got a head coaching job at this really small school in Portland, and kind of coached everything there besides throws, and yeah, kind of just went on from there. Then got an opportunity, went up to UW, and then back to Portland at the University of Portland, and so UW was my first position where it was like very like more of a distance oriented program, you know, like a lot of heavy focus on cross country, and then at Portland, same thing. And I actually discovered as I was around, you know, sort of all the distances that I really loved coaching, the distance stuff and things like steeplechase that was technical and had like the hurdle aspects that my own career did and that, you know, my background did, but with like the longer training. So, you know, from a science standpoint in grad school, like distance training is a lot of what you learn and talk about. And so I really loved that it was sort of like this nice blend of both. So yeah, I guess the rest is kind of history, but I had a very unusual arrival into coaching because most people do just start immediately after undergrad if they want to do it, right? So that was like an interesting path that I took to get to college coaching and then to where I am now. But I'm glad that I went that way. I think I would have really needed some convincing to start coaching right out of college.
I mean, it's wild to think that we know what we want to do when we graduate college at 22 years old.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you are an athlete and you're like gonna run pro or something, like that's a different story. But like professionally, outside of like athletes, like you don't know who you're going to be or what you want to do. And we have this expectation and this pressure on ourselves to figure it out right away.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Especially like you're like really high achieving, like you've always been goal oriented, you know, like running is perfect for people like that. Right. You've like always got something you're trying to work up to next. And so I remember feeling like it was such an odd feeling being done with college and being like, this is what I'm going to be doing, I guess. Like here I am. I'm not going, you know, I don't know what my next aspiration is. And so that was like a very strange place for me for a year before I went to grad school, then was like really able to kind of open my mind and open up some doors of like what my options were. But it is a really strange place to be as a 22-year-old. You're like, okay, got to figure it out because I'm an adult now.
Did you work with Marisa Powell at UW?
No. So I was there with Greg Metcalf, and then our staff left when the Powells came in. So I knew her like through coaching when she was at Oregon, and then when I was at Utah in the Pac-12. Uh-huh. So I know her, but I didn't actually work with her.
Okay. She's I interviewed her a few years ago, and she's one of my favorite interviews. I just loved her energy, and I thought, man, it would be so cool to run on her team. She just seems like kind of like Diljit vibes, right? Like just seems like she cares so fiercely for the women on the team, is just so zoned in on them.
I actually remember I listened to that interview with her after it was probably a couple years later, I think. But she was like, she was reminiscing about when she had one of her kids and then like came back to coaching, and it was just like, she was at the Dempsey and she's like breastfeeding her baby. And that was like, I had so many of those experiences at Utah with traveling with a child, a tiny child. And I was like, it was just like hitting home for me. I was like, oh, okay, other people have made it through. I can do it.
See, that's so important that we share those stories so that when someone's walking through it or they're about to walk through it, they hear, like, hopefully someone hears you talking on this interview. Like, your kids are so young still. And hopefully somebody's like, well, she's doing it. I can do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember feeling like, because there aren't very many women in the NCAA, and then there aren't very many women in the NCAA with kids. And so I did feel like very, like I was just doing something different. And, you know, like there aren't many, there's like maybe one or two babies like at an NCAA cross country meet right, with the coaches.
Yeah.
And mine was one of them. And so I think it's easy from my own experience, as a female coach, it can be easy to feel like you're kind of like on an island, like you're the only one. Mm. But I try to remind myself like in those moments that that's like, it's not true. It's just that you don't see a lot of other people like you, right? So sometimes that can feel a little bit odd, for sure.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not like there aren't men with young kids coaching too, but I hate to genderize things, but it's so true that, like, I mean, experience will tell you, if you are a parent, like being a mom is different than being a dad. It just is.
Totally.
I mean, especially like our bodies spend so much work caring for these babies. And I don't know. In my experience, my husband just doesn't get sad when he's away like I do.
Aww.
I know dads do, but like, I don't know. Yes. There's a little mom thing there.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, like if we're talking really frankly, which I guess we are, I appreciate that. Like, if you breastfeed, that makes it really intense too. And so just like navigating that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't gone for long periods this past summer, like without the girls. Like they came with like to Europe and stuff, like, so that it was just like
shorter
trips. Yeah. And but it is just like a different role. And you know, I could never pull off what I'm doing without my husband, because he's so involved and like is very much, it's like if I'm not with them and he is, like, it's, you know, same care, obviously different parenting from different parents, but same care. And that's made such a big difference for me. But yeah, it's just like, there's like always this pull when you're not with your kids, and that I went into parenthood nervous about that, and it's definitely not easy, but you know, I really love what I'm doing, and so that makes it a little bit easier, I think.
Well, and I guess I'll say when I travel, I don't necessarily feel like, especially now that my kids are a little bit bigger, like guilt being away from them so much. I get like spousal guilt. Like I feel guilty that like he's pulling more weight. That's kind of more what I feel these days. Do you feel that ever?
Totally. Yes, absolutely. Because it's like, it's easier to be the person not parenting by yourself than parenting by yourself, right? We know that. And so I think about that whenever I'm gone. Like, what does my evening look like here versus my like the evening at home? And it's like way more low-key here wherever I'm at. So I do – I think about that. It's like this ebb and flow, like in a relationship with kids. But my experience so far has been that it's never equal. Someone is always giving more. And that is hard to like swallow some days, especially when I'm on like the I'm doing less end. Like you do feel like that spousal guilt is a perfect way to call it.
I feel like we talk about that less than mom guilt. Like I feel like mom guilt is talked about more than spousal guilt.
You're so right. Yeah. But in a scenario where you're traveling, it's definitely like, maybe it's mom guilt where you miss your kids and you're not with them. But then it's definitely the spousal guilt of who is with the kids. They are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. All right, friends, this episode of the podcast is supported by Prevnex, my go-to for protein powder, muscle health, joint health. All the vitamins and supplements that you need are going to be at Prevnex.com. They have the highest quality ingredients, clinically effective supplements that promote health and longevity. And what I'm raving about is their muscle health. If you follow me on Instagram, you might see that I've been lifting quite a bit. My goal is 3 days a week of lifting, still running around 5 days a week. And the Muscle Health Plus combines clinically effective doses of creatine monohydrate. If you're taking creatine, you want that monohydrate is the kind that you want. And other essential amino acids. It combines all these amazing ingredients for comprehensive muscle health. And as you age, you know, you hit 30, you hit 40, you hit 50, your muscles break down a certain percentage every decade. And it's so important to fight against that so you can stay strong as you age. This is something I'm taking really importantly. Importantly, is that a word? I'm taking it really seriously. You know, I just hit 40 and this is a big deal to me. So I am focused on the strength training and also taking the muscle health and doing anything complementary that will help me stay strong and help with that muscle growth and protect against the muscle breakdown. So good news, if you have already used my code another with Prevnex, you can use the code LindseyStrength, LINDSEY strength, to get 15% off your order. As long as you have muscle health in the cart, you can put anything else in there and you can still get that discount using the code LindseyStrength. You can also use the code another if you've never purchased from Prevnex using my code before. That'll still work for 15% off as well. I highly recommend their products. I take their multivitamin. My kids take their vitamins. I really trust the work they're doing and the ingredients that they put in the products. So go to Prevnex.com and check it out. Code LindseyStrength or another. All right, friends, back to the show. So I heard / read that you just applied for the OAC job like on LinkedIn or something.
Like a regular person.
Like a regular old person. Like you saw the posting.
Just like a regular. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Tell
true.
Me more.
Yeah. That was like a different experience that I would have expected in the coaching world, because oftentimes it is that you already like somehow know somebody.
Yes.
And so your name is already being like tossed around in a group, right? We know that that happens often. But in this circumstance, I had never spoke to Nathan or Steve, you know, our boss above us, above OAC, or Andy, who works with the program too. And so, I like applied on LinkedIn where you send, you know, resume and a email to Steve and did my first interview with him because he was narrowing it down. Then did my next interviews with Andy and Dathan, and then like came out and met or then did another Zoom interview with some of the team, four of the athletes, then came out in person and met everybody. And so it was like what I assume is like more of a regular, you know, like a normal job, if you will, interview process, like where you're not like, there is no ends. Like I was just, like I was just like out here hoping that my interviews were going well and that they felt like I was a good fit, because for my end, I felt like I was a good fit. But yeah, it was just interesting to have such like a, none really of my other jobs had been like, maybe I guess the first two were very like where I didn't know anybody going into it. But then from there on out, I knew someone, you know, and so it was just different. Yeah. So it was funny.
Yeah. So I want to talk about like, did you feel any sort of like, I haven't coached pros yet, so like, will they accept me? Like, because I think oftentimes we stop ourselves from trying something that feels a little bit out of our realm because we're like, well, there'll be other people applying that are more qualified and blah, blah, blah. Like, how'd you talk yourself into being like, I am worthy, I belong here, I could be a good pro coach too?
You know, I just, a couple, like probably 5 years into my college coaching career, I had, you know, talked with my husband that like maybe long term I wanted to coach a pro group. Just I thought that it sounded really awesome and that like the setup was designed well, where you've got like a smaller group and you're more focused and like these people are all in all the time and you do cut out some of the hoop jumping aspect of the NCAA. And so, and then I remember when OAC was formed, I told my husband like, once I started signing people, I was like, okay, yeah, that's the, that would be the group. That's the dream. And, you know, I'm not even making this up. I really did say, I think I said those words, that's the dream, to my husband.
Way before the job was posted?
Yeah, this, 2020. Yeah, when they like announced. Like
right when they announced
early roster. Yeah. I was like, wow, I would love that to happen. And then when I left Utah and was further talking about like that I would love my next step to be in the pro scene, I'd mentioned again to my husband, like, I wonder if OAC ever plans on adding an assistant. Like, that's still the dream. Now they've gotten bigger, they're so good, you know, it's like they're clearly doing things right, the right way. And so then the job, someone had told me, like maybe one of my friends that runs professionally had said like, oh, I think that like sooner than later, OAC is planning on hiring an assistant. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I did assume at some point they would. But when the job got posted and I applied, I was like half really nervous, you know, that I wasn't even going to get an opportunity because I did not run professionally myself. Like, my coaching resume is there and I have a really good academic background from a science standpoint, but like, I wasn't a pro, right? I was like a regional qualifier in 400 hurdles. That's what I got. And so the other half of me was like, I really believe that like what I bring to the table from a coaching perspective could be what a team like that needs. Mm-hmm. And I am like, they have Dathan, who is like this incredible athlete himself. It is a 3-time Olympian. Like, so perhaps they're not looking for another Dathan, like, you know, two people that have been there, like, perhaps they're looking for a different perspective, right? That Dathan has all of that pro side of it down. And so, like, I can come in from the other side of it. So I tried to tell myself to lean into that half of me that was thinking that, you know, being, like, really positive and optimistic. And I was like, I think, you know, I might – if I can get an interview, like, I think that I can give myself a shot because I believe that I can sell myself, you know, to be that person that they need. And so, yeah, I got an interview and it was like, it felt really good. My interview with Steve, it just felt like we just connected really well and he like really got where I was coming from and I understood what they were looking for and what they were looking for, I felt like I had truly. And so it was kind of like the rest is history. Like everybody I talked to from there on, it just felt right. But I was very nervous coming to meet the team in Boulder for exactly what you're talking about, right? Because I'm just like, you know, I'm like a normal person, for lack of a better term, right? So, you know, like, who's to say that anybody is going to be convinced that I should be coaching them? But I think that the team had really understood too, like, what they were, that we were, the team OAC before I was here was looking for a role that could really support Dathan and support them in whatever way that looks like. Like, it doesn't mean my helping them doesn't mean that I have to have ran incredibly fast myself. Mm. It's like all the other things that come with coaching that aren't about like the actual running itself too. So it went well, you know, I think like anything else, like some people it seemed like clicked right away and other people I knew would take more time. And I think it's really important to honor that and know that you're not gonna like build a rapport with some people in a week or a month. Like it's gonna take some time and that you have to earn their trust. And that's been fine with me. Like I think I understand where those people come from. And so it's been, you know, now 6 months in, it's like so much different than at the start, right? We've had the whole fall where we've all been together versus in the summer it would be like, you know, five of us and me and then like five other people would be with Dathan, and so we'd be all split up. And so yeah, I think it's been really great, but for sure, like going into it, I was just like, you can't control what other people think of you.
No.
And so I just had to be myself, like be authentic, which can be nerve-wracking. But I was like, I can't pretend to be something I'm not. And I have to trust that if it's the right fit, that they'll feel like that too. And then we'll get there, you know, on a individual relationship standpoint.
That it's so hard not to care. Like I can act all day that I don't care what people think of me.
Totally.
And you're so right. Like you can't control it and it is what it is. But at the end of the day, you just want everybody to like you and like know that you're a nice person and that you're a hard worker and totally. That you can deliver and all those things. But it's so true. No matter what you do, you cannot control what anybody thinks about you or what your motives are or intentions are or if you'll be good or not good.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think like that's no matter where you're at and what you do in your life, I think that serves you really well to try to get to a point of being like, all I can do is be myself and be okay with how other people perceive that. But whew, way easier said than done, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before. And I think I got this from Donald Miller. But there's some like statistic that like, I don't know if it's like 1 in 8 people or something. But like some number of people just like won't jive with you. Like you're just totally. Not going to be their cup of tea. And it's really hard to accept that because again, like we were saying, like you want people to like who you are. But that's just like how the world works. And I'm sure for some people it's higher percentage than others. But, as soon as I heard that, I had just moved to a new place from Indianapolis to Raleigh. And I was like, every time I met someone, I was like, are they going to be the one? Are they going to be the 1 in 8? And I'm probably quoting it wrong. Y'all can look it up if you want. But it's something like 1 in 10, 1 in 8. I don't know. It's just like you won't work out together. And so every new potential friend that I was going to meet, I was like, well, what if they're that one person? And I would get self-conscious. So and it's like the older you get, you want to be like totally just confident in who you are. But and I've learned a lot, too, with moving. Like there are certain friendships that like I thought were going to end up being like really special and long term. And it just didn't work out. Like it just didn't sync up just right. And that's OK. Sometimes it's hard to accept, though.
Oh, for sure. And like I grew up in the Midwest and like very Midwest parents where you're like, yeah, you want everybody, like you have to be so kind to everybody. You want everyone to like you and you're like definitely people pleaser thing. And then over the years, I've been like, I've got to try to drop that because sometimes you just can't please everybody. Right. But it's still a work in progress.
So yeah, I want to go back to when your coach told you, though, that like, have you ever thought about coaching? And you because you hadn't. Mm-hmm. Were you a team captain? Like, why do you think he brought that up to you?
I asked him about it at a meet a couple years ago, let's say 2021, maybe regionals. He was there. I always would go to say, hey. So I was chatting with him and which it was funny, right? Like over the years going from like I was his athlete and then like that every time I would see him as an enemy as a coach, it was just funny. Like, oh, I guess we're like coach against each other now. This is silly. So I had asked, I was like, hey, do you remember like my last semester when you asked me if I was going to coach? And he was like, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, yeah, like what? you know, what was it that made you ask me that, right? Because we had never had a conversation prior. And he was like, you know, Kelsey, I just like how you interacted with other people and like the energy you brought to the team and just, I don't know, just like who you are, that when I was thinking about your career, you know, beyond undergrad and running, I just sort of assumed that you would want to coach yourself because I thought it would be a really good path for you. And I was like, huh, like, you know, we were, I wouldn't say we were close. Like, you know, he was like a long sprints coach, like more intimidating than like a coach you're like to really close with. And so it was just interesting to me that, you know, we spent some years together and that was like what he had gotten from me. And that he was so right. So I thought that was, it was cool. Like just to hear that from him. I was like, well, I like, for what it's worth, like, even though I didn't listen to you at first, I appreciate, you know, I appreciate that you told me that I, you thought that that would be like a good path for me. Cause you know, when it's somebody you look up to, it means a lot. Like when they kind of put a vote of confidence in you for something. So that was really cool for me. Yeah.
Oh, it's a game changer when someone you look up to plants that seed, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And that was part of it, right? Like once I started coaching, I realized like how good it felt like in your soul, you know, to, to like put that belief and confidence in other people that they don't always have themselves. Because as an athlete, I was very confident. And he had told me like before my first semester that what he expected me to run by the end of my career. And it was so much faster than I had ran. And I was like terrified. It was like, oh, that's what you expect me to run? Like, oh no, you know, is what I'm thinking. And he was like, yeah, like I expect that out of you. And I know that you're going to get there. And it was like scary and intimidating, but also like, wow, what a vote of confidence. And that's exactly what I ended up running my last year.
Wow.
Yeah, which was wild to me. And so when I started coaching and like saw what it looked like and felt what it is like to be on the other side of that, of like seeing the potential in somebody and telling them like, look, it might not feel like it now, but this is inside of you. Like you can do this. It was just like, it's just not like any other experience. So that was like it's been really rewarding over the years to get to be on that side of things with athletes.
That is such a cool story. Yeah. I mean, do you think, so you said he wasn't like a warm and fuzzy coach.
No, he's very, way more intimidating than warm and fuzzy.
Okay. So did you thrive on a coach like that? And then what kind of coach are you now?
Yeah, no, I think I think I would have probably like preferred that he be a little less intimidating and that I feel like would have felt a little more comfortable with him, because then when I got to know him as like a true adult, or you know, like I would just run into him and have conversations, it was way more comfortable. And I was like, yeah, like this is nice. But as an athlete, yeah, I was just very intimidated. And so I myself am way, you know, I think you could probably tell from this conversation with me, I'm very, or I try to be very approachable and like open to talk about anything. And I would never want it to, like, I would never want somebody to feel like they couldn't come to me with something, even if it's like that they have they disagree with me on something. So I've been very like, yeah, I'm like down to earth. And like, if you want to talk about something, let's talk about it. Don't think that you couldn't approach me about something. And that's a lot easier with the pro team because they're older versus like college kids, where I think, you know, that age gap is pretty significant. And so there is like some nervousness sometimes, like, you know, going in to talk to your coach about something. So, yeah, it's been the same thing even here on OSV, where it's like, there should be like no topic, like off limits, you know, like, let's talk about it if we need to talk about it. I'm just like a person like you are. So that's been really good.
Yeah, I imagine the maturity and just where we are in life stage for coaching pros compared to coaching college athletes is just way different.
Yeah, way different. Especially like, you know, when you come into college, you're 18.
18. It's like,
wow. Like you just left your parents' house a lot of times.
Literally. Yes.
Most of the time maybe you didn't cook meals on your own, you know, versus like these people have it locked in here. Yeah. They know what they're doing. They know what works for them. They know what they need to do. It's just totally, totally different. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, that's like 7 years away from my oldest kid. That's freaking crazy. It's crazy. We started this talking about human development, and I can't even you can't even wrap your head around the changes that are going to happen in these next few years.
It's so nuts.
Pretty cool, though, that you joined the team and then, like, a couple months later, Helen O'Beery wins the New York City Marathon. Or, sorry, the Boston Marathon. Cool. Like,
yeah,
what?
No, you were right. New York City. Oh, yeah, New York. She won New Boston. York. Then I joined. Yeah, and then she won New York.
She won. That's right. That's yeah, right.
Wild. So she had won. Like, she won Boston the day before my interview with Dathan.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, like, you know, this is so cool. Like, I was like, okay, I shouldn't take up too much time with the interview talking about that. But I also, like, definitely have to ask, you know, so like, cool. At least at the beginning. Yeah. It was so cool.
Show some interest.
I was so interested, right? I was like, we have a video that our, like, videographer put together that, like, kind of highlights of the team last year. And there's, like, for the Boston one, it's, like, part of it is where she looks back before she takes off with a mile to go and just, like, blasts everybody. And I get goosebumps every time I see it. It's so cool. So then I came in June and she started her build, you know, like a month later for New York. And that was just such a cool experience. Like, her husband is so supportive and her daughter is awesome. And so her husband comes to all of our practices. He warms up. Like when it's for a marathon, you know, block, because it's early in the morning with Helen. And so he comes and does the warm up with us and then usually drives, sometimes bikes for the rest of the time. And they're just really incredible people. And Helen is an absolutely incredible athlete. You know, that it's like even after months of being next to her for workouts, I would still like be biking alongside her. Like, this is just bananas that she's doing this, you know, like she's she's just so good. And so, yeah, in New York, it was funny because, like, all of her long runs have been way faster than the pace they were running. And so we're just like, wow, we are in uncharted territory here of, like, jogging, you know, like, we did not expect this.
Did she tell you, like, what did that feel like to her until she took
She said
off?
That she, because, you know, she was like, Dathan was like, we got to be patient. You got to wait till the park. And she said that.
Wow, till the park.
Like, she said that at right around, like, halfway, she was like, should I bail on the plan and just go now? Because it was, you know, boring. And she's like, oh, no, I'll wait. And so she's so funny. So she waited, you know. And then it was, like, an incredibly exciting sprint finish, which was crazy. It was funny because after I asked her, like, okay, like, were you all out, you know, like 400 to go, she's sending it up that hill. And we're like, is G'day going to stay with her? And if she does she have another gear? Cause she's running fast, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, cause she looked back, I think at 200 to go, she said, oh, I had one more gear. So I was like checking to see if I needed to use it. And I'm like,
wow.
She's running so fast at the end of that marathon. Like, yeah, she's amazing.
That's
so
kind of wild.
Yeah,
though.
It was so cool.
Like, to wait when you know, because when you're, like, jogging, and I say that with, like, you know, air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes.
Because it's, like, I don't know. I think I mean, I'm not a professional runner, obviously, but, like, I would be scared to let it wait until that last sprint because I'm, like, then it's kind of, like, what if someone can outkick you? But if you, like, take off sooner and you can build, like, you know, a 400 meter gap or something like that.
Yeah.
I can imagine it would be hard not to stick. Yeah.
Totally. She tested a couple times. She would put in a surge, you know, like a couple miles ago and then a mile to go. And she was like, okay, I'm going to wait till 400 to go because they're still here, but I can drop them then. But I mean, she knew she was going to win like the day before in that morning. Like that was, she went in and said, I'm going to go, this is it. You know, like, redemption from a previous year, certainly, like, I'm gonna go do it. And she knew that her training had been what it needed to be, that she could go beat everybody. And honestly, there's a lot of things that set Helen apart, but, like, that's for sure one of them. Like, she knows based off of how her training is gone, yep, she's got the confidence, like, I'm just gonna go do it. She doesn't question herself. And wow, I mean, that's amazing to be able to do that, to, like, to know yourself well enough to say, like, yep, this is it, I'm gonna go do it. No qualms. And she did it. And it was like, yeah, it was, she was really happy about it. But that's she executed on what she said she was going to do.
Did you think, and maybe did you talk to her, like, did winning Boston give her that extra confidence, like knowing I just did this in the spring?
For sure. Yeah, she had a really good build and they knew that, and she felt really good going into Boston, and then, you know, had locked down the nutrition side of it. That was huge for her. And so that when she did that, we said, okay, we know like where we can even get a little bit better, but like we also know what works. And so having just like this really great build for New York where her nutrition was dialed in like every long run and every workout, it was like, okay, yeah, I know. Now she's gone and done it before. Like, let's go do it again on New York where you've ran it before and know what to expect, you know, from the course.
So excited to be partnering with UCAN for 2024. UCAN's award-winning Edge Energy Gels last longer than any other gels and provide a more consistent feeling of energy. You know, so many pros are using UCAN. It is a legit product. Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, Kira D'Amato, so many pros and non-pros rely on UCAN to fuel their training and recovery. And if you haven't tried it yet, now is the time. UCAN is offering the All Have Another community an exclusive chance to try 4 Edge samples for free. All you pay is the cost of shipping. Head over to ucan.co/another to claim this exclusive offer. You can also check out the full variety of UCAN products at ucan.co and save 20% off your entire order with the code ANOTHER. So go get those free Edge samples, the 4 samples for free. Just go to ucan.co/another to claim that exclusive offer. And then if you want to check out the whole store, go to ucan.co and for 20% off your order, use the code ANOTHER. Check it out. Let me know what you think. So we'll move on from Helen, but I do have one more question. What's her plans for 2024 now? Like, obviously we have an Olympic year coming up. Yeah. What does that look like if she's running for Kenya?
Yeah, right. She'll race this spring, but, you know, hasn't announced anything. And she's racing Houston on Sunday. That's announced Sunday.
Yeah.
And then she'll race another big one. And then so Kenya does like a selection process. So that they're like in the process of doing that. And I think it sounded last time she had a conversation with them. They're trying to figure that out, like kind of be more like official within like the next month or so.
Okay.
So the plan will be, and I think she even said, you know, this in her post-race interview at New York, the plan will be to go to Paris, get a medal in the marathon.
Yeah.
So super exciting, right? It's like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Can you talk to me a little bit about the rest of the team? I know, I don't remember, was it last year? Was it 2022 that Josette Norris joined the team?
Yes, it was. It was because she just hit a year of being in Boulder, like right around Christmas. They moved like last Christmas Eve, I think. Yeah.
I love her so much. She's such a fun interview and such a fun person to follow. And I've also had Robbie on the podcast, and I'm just
nice.
I just love the two of them. They're the how they support each other, and like the way that he just like he's just so in love with her. It is so sweet.
So cute. Yeah.
It is
we
so
just had a conversation
sweet.
On the run today. He was running with us on an easy run, and we were talking because they did a workout on Sunday, and he like paced, and he was like, "Kelsey, I went too deep on Sunday." Like, you know, he was like working. It was pretty funny. I was like, I thought towards the end you might like. I thought I was like Robbie's like getting after it today.
So yeah. you have such a good group and a wide range, you know. Mm-hmm. To me about the team and just like what the dynamic is with all the athletes going from are you 15 to the marathon?
I mean, Sage with the 800, right?
Yeah, like we're 800,
we're 800 marathon. We cover it all. But what's cool is that there's some crossover. Like Sage and Helen ran the last rep of the workout together on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Which is like amazing, right? We're talking like our 157, 800 gals just out here crushing with Helen, who's going to go race a half marathon a week later.
That's how Helen finishes so fast.
Right. It's pretty cool. The team is really supportive of each other, you know, really invested in each other and like their goals too. So, you know, like this year, it's going to kind of kind of go quick. Like indoor starts at the end of January. We're racing at BU. And then, you know, first people to have the trials are our Australians in mid-April. So like, it's pretty quick. And then, you know, US and Spain and a couple others, like then it's like end of June. But really things start rolling for the Olympics for us in April. So it's like a big year, and it's also kind of a widespread. Like we've got to have big performances for several months, right? With trials. So I think everybody understands how important it is for themselves and for each other, like to have this be, to have things click and have it go right and get the standards, you know, and make our race opportunities count. So it's good. I feel like everybody gels really well, really widespread of personalities, which I think is fun. It makes it interesting. But at the end of the day, like all here for the same reason, which is like to get the best out of themselves and the best out of each other, you know, working together. So it's awesome. Like, yeah, it's really, really fun group. And they've done, Dathan, you know, has been really considerate of like making sure that the team culture stays like where, you know, really rock solid over the years as it's, the team has continued to grow. And so they've done a really good job with that. And it's really cool to be a part of that.
You know how like on a college team or high school team, even you have like your rock star, you have your like rock star group that's like, these are my top five always. They're always on the cross team or whatever. And then you have your people that are cycling in and out that top seven. How do you make sure that you are like, nobody gets favored, right? Like, let me just take like Alicia Monsoon, for example, who's like, you know, seems to always kill everything. Like, how do you make sure that every teammate is treated equally? Like, you are just as an important member on this team.
Yeah, I think that was part of like adding on this assistant coach role was like, okay, we've got 13 athletes. One of the ways we can make sure that everybody feels like they're checked in on and like taken care of and important is to have like another coach that's here with Dathan doing exactly that. So, you know, with Dathan and I last summer and now this upcoming season, the goal is that like nobody's ever really like by themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we've got half the, you know, five athletes are headed to the US trials. Dathan heads over with them. I'll probably stay here with the other athletes, the non-US athletes, so that they have somebody here for workouts. Then maybe I like fly in for like a couple days to see some races, you know, and cheer on our US athletes and then come back so that they're not by themselves, like, you know, just coachless. And so that they have somebody that they can always come and check in with if something's going on or they need to talk about something. So it's like more two of us instead of one to make sure that everybody's taken care of. And yeah, that's just what, you know, Dathan does a really great job of that and always has before I got here. And that's always been really important for me too with coaching, which is that like you do just have like a casual conversation with everybody, you know, pretty frequently to just like kind of get a read on how they're doing. And if there is something they need to do, like talk about, like go get coffee individually. Because everybody is just equally important, like you're saying. And like, it's important to make sure that you distribute the love, right? That you're not just like giving one person all the attention and everybody else is kind of on the wayside.
Right. Because I feel like if that happens, like some real talent and like someone who could really do some really big things could just get like overlooked. And if, you know, I mean,
totally.
There are so many times where like you see the like star athlete and I wonder whose careers could have been what had they been given the right attention from their coaches.
Totally. Yeah. And I myself wasn't like ever the star athlete anywhere. And so my perspective is from like, you know, sort of like the other side of it where you're like, okay, I think that everybody, no matter what level they're at, can do better with somebody at their side saying, how are you? How can I support you? And so when you think about people at the highest level where, you know, there's tiny little things are what we're shooting for to make the difference, right? Like, you know, hundredths of a second make teams or thousandths. And so it's like being that person that's like, hey, how are you? How can I help you? Even at this high level also matters, right? It's not just for like the high school athlete that's trying to break 20 minutes. It's like for the people that are trying to win medals too. And I think Nathan and I, like, you know, that was part of our conversation and in the process and continues to be on a regular basis. So we're like, okay, yeah, what are we doing to support these athletes? Because that's what a coach is really here for, right? Is like to support them in whatever way they need.
How do you know, like, which athletes need a little more like fuzziness and which athletes need more just like, you know, boom, boom, boom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really big on reading the room and like trying to just get as much, especially at the beginning, like as much observation as I could, you know, because I didn't know anybody. And so it was like less conversations and more just like, you know, watching things and how they work. And you just pick up a lot on people's personalities, you know, and then other people kind of give you helpful information too as they get more comfortable with you. Then you kind of, you know, they tell you a lowdown on someone else or like, you know, what they're, so-and-so, like maybe you want to check in on them, you know, that you just, you keep your ears open. But yeah, I'm really big on, this makes me sound like, you know, so it's like such a hippie, but just like, what's like the vibe that each person's like giving off, and especially on a day-to-day basis. Exactly. Like, what's your energy? Like someone seems like really off today. Like one of us needs to check in with them. Like, and Nathan and I will talk about that. Like, hey, did you notice so-and-so was, you know, seemed off today? Like really trying to just be aware of how people are, and it helps that we see them 6 days a week. So like, you have a lot to compare to, right? Like, okay, usually they're like this. Today is different. So that's really helpful.
Wow. So you see the team 6 days a week?
Yeah. We practice together Sunday through Fridays, and then we don't meet on Saturdays.
Wow. That's intense. I mean, I feel like I've talked to other groups, and like they mostly meet on like workout days or something like that, like 6 days a week.
Yeah. And that was like, what was one of the things Nathan wanted when they started the group was like that it would feel like a true team where you're like always like part of it is the consistency of like every day, and also that like you've always got people to run with and you're not like out on your own, you know, with too much time in your thoughts like with running by yourself, and that you've got like people to depend on and that you could check in if something's wrong on a random easy day. So we workout days and not workout days.
Wow. So you said you guys have 13 athletes. What does recruitment look like? Do you want to keep it at that, around that number?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's going to depend year to year on like who our recruits are and like what we feel like the team dynamic is, like whether or not we want to add one person or zero people or five people, you know? So I don't think that there's like this specific like hard number or like, okay, we have to add two every year. It's really just like, what's the right fit, you know? So like Josette came last December, but otherwise like hadn't added anybody like, you know, from that previous summer on, because it's got to be like the right people or the right person. So just trying to be really intentional on like adding the right people to this group.
And what does that look like in terms of like you guys reaching out to people versus them reaching out to you?
Yeah, it's usually pretty mutual. It's like if we're interested from OAC and the brand is interested, you know, on, and we reach out. So far, nobody's been like hard no. We're not interested in joining OAC. So then the conversation continues from there about like, is it right on both sides of things? But yeah, it seems like so far, like if we've been like, hey, we're interested, you want to talk? It's like, yes, we want to talk. So no one's rejected us.
Who's saying
us?
No to OAC?
That's funny.
What do you feel about the culture of teams? Like, did you happen to see – do you follow Laura Green on social media?
I do.
Did you happen to see her video of, like, making fun of, like, the teams? Did you – you know what I'm talking about? Like, with Bowerman dissolving and – I thought that was hilarious because she had like popped up earlier. Funny. She was like, this is going to be like the most inside baseball thing I've ever done, blah, blah, blah. But like anybody that follows running, like knows about all these teams. Totally. I thought it was hysterical. Totally. Everything about it. What's kind of your thoughts on like the culture of the different teams and when y'all see each other out and about, like what's that like?
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, between like social media and then like individuals that are like friends, everybody's pretty in the know about everybody else, especially mm-hmm. like in the Boulder area.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's like nothing that's, you know, there's like no like real major like secrets. It's like, you know, we like Elise joined Team Boss and we had seen her like out on a run in Boulder. Like, right. Uh-huh. So, you know.
You like knew she was joining some team over there.
Right. You can't really like hide in Boulder. So, yeah, I feel like the dynamic is pretty good. Right. It's usually just like, when it comes down to races, then it's like, okay, you know, now we are like, we care about our team. But everybody's really quite friendly. You know, like we see, like Tim and Alit is oftentimes at the track at the same time as we are, right? And we're always like, oh, hey, and how are you? You know, like, what are you guys up to today? Like, very friendly. So I think that's really cool. I think track is such a different sport because of that, you know, like, there's no pro basketball teams that are like, oh, we're at the same gym. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, what are you doing for your practice today? But in running, it's like not weird at all, right? You're like, hey, here we are. We're at Niwa track. How's it going? How's the workout? Like, you know, they say what they're doing. So there's like less secrets, I think, because of that, which is funny.
I mean, that is too what I love about running so much. Like I keep seeing that like Molly huddles in Flagstaff and she's running with like Alphine. And like I just love that. Yeah. Even if you're not in a group, you can just like hop into other groups sometimes to get a good workout in or just be with other people.
Especially like, especially Flagstaff.
Yeah.
There's something about Flagstaff. It's like everybody runs with everybody there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's really
it's
cool.
Kind of funny.
I would love for Laura, I feel like she'd need an army of people to do some spoof of like you guys all showing up at the same track and like I can just see her like doing like certain walks for different groups.
Right.
Laura, make it happen.
You have to do like the high school like gym class, which because they come out and like literally are walking in lane 7 and 8, like during the work, like while these Olympians are running. And I'm just like, only in running, right? Is this happening?
Only
these,
in running.
15-year-olds have no idea who these people are. Yard de Goose is like out here dropping 56 400s and they're just like, walking 25-minute mile pace around the track.
Oh my gosh.
It's
that
pretty
is
funny.
Hysterical.
Yeah, it's pretty. It is. It's pretty epic.
Also, like, kudos to professional running, like not being like we're too good for this,
right? Like it keeps us humble, like you know we're out here with the high school gym class, so you can't get too big, you know, big time if you're next to that kid walking.
Okay, so we'll wrap up here. If you had advice to someone aspiring to be a coach or a woman who is like, I want to do this, but I also want to have a family, or I already have a family and I want to do this. Like, what is your advice to that person?
I think not being afraid to reach out to other people that are doing it or have done it and asking like just for their thoughts. You know, that's something that I didn't really do much of. And I think it would have helped me, you know, kind of back some years ago, like feel a little more equipped, especially like when I had my first daughter and I was in the NCAA coaching, I was just like, would get too nervous to ask people, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think like I myself would love to talk to somebody, you know, if they were in that situation. And even if I can offer one iota of help, like then great that I made it a little bit easier for another woman, you know, in coaching. So I think it's easy to get like nervous and not reach out to people who you don't know, but like, I would say to do that, really, because I think most people are willing to help.
Yeah, like you want more women in coaching.
Totally. Absolutely.
You pull down and you help people up, you know, like
you
carve a path and you show people and then you build each other up and you say, come on, let's do that. Let's all do this. I think there's really something special about when people in their profession can pull people up along with them, you know, rather than constantly just grabbing for the top. And that's something that women coaches are really good at.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
All right. So what are you most looking forward to in 2024? The Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not say the Olympics, right? There's just like so many races between trials and, you know, even indoor races are super fun. And like this season, I just feel like this year is just going to be really exciting. So I'm just like, I'm really excited for all the team has coming up for them.
I mean, I just can't believe the Olympics are already here. I mean, it's because it's the shorter, you know, since it was
that 1 year less really went
quick.
It
makes a big difference.
It does.
It's crazy. Wild.
It's so crazy.
We moved to Raleigh during the Olympics, like, yeah. And so I remember, like, our first night in our house, like, we all slept on like blow up mattresses on the living room floor and watched the Olympics. And
yeah,
it's crazy to me that like another cycle's already here. I'm like, I've lived here this long, but that extra year, I mean, that one less year that really makes a big difference.
It's crazy,
but something about the Olympics that just like stamps moments in time, and it's always the most fun summer for sure.
So fun. Yeah, it'll be really cool.
What's your favorite sport to watch beyond running in the Olympics?
I get pretty fired up for swimming, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like swimming. U.S., sometimes we just get like on a roll where you're just like, let's go. Like, yeah, it's pretty fun. But gosh, really, there's like so many sports that I watch during the Olympics I don't usually watch, and it's pretty inspiring.
Yeah. Okay, what's something professionally or personally you'd like to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, professionally, in the name of 2024, I've never coached anybody to an Olympic medal. So that's for sure the goal this year, which is crazy. it's exciting. Awesome. So guess we'll see. Yeah.
That's awesome. What's the best, most recent book you've read?
Okay, on the fiction side, I'm on the second book of Fourth Wing, which is incredible. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got it for me for Christmas. Yeah. Okay. And on the nonfiction side, I'm almost done with The Practice of Groundedness by Brad Silver.
Oh, yeah, Brad. Mm-hmm.
So good. Yeah, it's
love him.
It's really good. He does really great work. So that's been really good on the totally opposite end of the spectrum.
What's your last message to leave with the audience?
Yeah, you know, just talking about my college coach and like believing in people. I think for me myself, sometimes I forget how much of a difference it makes for other people. Like I think about how much of a difference it makes for me if someone believes in me, but you forget that you can be that person for other people, especially if with something like coaching, you know? And so I think just like remembering that you can have an impact on other people, even if it's in like this small way where it's not like a huge conceited effort out of you to do so, that you should take those opportunities when you get them, right? Because you never know when someone could really use it, and trying to be that person for somebody can be a really cool experience for yourself too.
I love that. Thank you, Kelsey.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. It was really lovely talking to you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here today. Thank you, Kelsey, for coming on the podcast. Again, you can follow Kelsey on Instagram. She is Coach K Quinn over there. You can find me. I am Lindsay Hine 626 on Instagram. I am at Lindsay Hine on Twitter. And you can learn more about this show and all the shows in our podcast network at sandyboyproductions.com. Thank you so very much for being here today, and we will see you next week on I'll Have Another.